This is the Rancho Murrieta Community Service District, October 21st, 2020, regular board meeting at 1700 or 5 p.m. Amelia, would you do roll call, please?
Director Mabee, are you here?
I am here.
Director Jager?
Here.
Director Merchant?
Here.
Director Butler?
Here.
Director Pohl.
Here.
Welcome.
Thank you. Item number two, consider adoption of agenda. I'll make a motion that we adopt the agenda as provided to us. Can I have a second?
Second.
I'll second that.
And that was Randy who seconded?
Linda.
Linda, very good. Roll call vote, Tim.
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Don?
Yes.
Linda?
Yes.
And Marty?
Yes.
Thank you.
Item number three, consent calendar. This is a roll call vote. It's to approve all items on the consent calendar. I would like to make a motion that we adopt the consent calendar as provided to us. Do I have a motion to second?
I'll second it.
Okay, that was...
There were two of us, Linda and John.
Okay. Yeah, let Linda do it, it's fine.
You're right, it'll just go down.
It's Linda's important stuff.
And we'll have a roll call vote, Director Mabee.
Excuse me, we have public comment.
I heard the question on public comment. I would probably have to defer to either the GM and or Mr. Shanahan, since we're in the middle of the roll call vote. Do we want to take public input in the middle of the vote? So I'll kick it to either.
Yes, you should take public input before finalizing the vote.
Perfect. So with that being said, Amelia, we had somebody that wanted to have a comment on the consent calendar. We're having some difficulties hearing you there, Amelia.
Difficulties hearing you, that's that.
If you have to, you can mute everybody again and we'll start over.
Okay, let me mute. Richard, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Yes, sir. Was it you that wanted had?
Yes. Am I go?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay, I was looking at the minutes for the September 16th board meeting, and I noticed it incorrectly reports the result of the roll call vote for item 14 on the agenda. It reports that everybody voted aye, but that's incorrect. In reality, during the roll call vote, when Tim's name was called, he clearly voted nay, and I think that needs to be corrected. And perhaps Mr. Shanahan should chime in on this.
Unfortunately, I have no recollection on the particular vote you're referring to.
Well, there is a recording of the vote, and there's a roll call vote. The roll call started, Amelia called Tim's name, and he replied nay. And the minutes indicate that everybody replied aye, which is incorrect. And
so, Richard, if I may, this is Tom Hennig.
Sure.
We re-listened to that because we heard a comment about that. And clearly, we felt the president, the board president, was joking because everybody laughed about it afterwards. So we took that as a positive vote. Just because we felt like it was clearly, it was not meant to be a nay vote.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I figured he was joking, but the fact is he voted nay. And I think it's a serious error if you record the vote other than what he actually says. It's his responsibility to vote correctly, and it's the responsibility of the district secretary to record the vote as it's called. And I think it's a violation of the California government code not to record it and report it as it was stated.
I'll jump in here. This is Director Mabee. For the public person that has concern, I would really not want to have our district secretary to incorrectly record something and be in state violation of any regulatory issues. So I will take the admonishment of if somebody does not see humor, what I think is really a humorous situation. I own that. So from now on, I'll try and be less humorous in my understanding of situations and have a better vote. I'm sure you probably reviewed the adjournment and saw that I voted not to adjourn the meeting as well. And it was the same reaction. So I own all this. I apologize to staff, and I will apologize to the other board members that my levity was not taken in the direction that it was given. So Amelia, if you could reflect the amendment or amend the document, that would be perfect. Is this the only public comment that we have on the consent calendar?
Actually, I have one other question relating to the bills paid listing. I was noticing
sure.
this.
Go ahead.
Yep, thank you. I was noticing there's a, I have it written down here someplace, a check on 9-3 from Municipal Resource Group LLC for $9,551.20 for investigation services. I was wondering what that is.
Yes, thank you, Tom. I'll address it. That is a personnel issue, and we're not going to discuss personnel issues here at this, specifically at this time. Once it becomes appropriate to bring it out to the public, and once the personnel issue has been completely and fully resolved, whether it's adjudicated in court or where have you, then we can make that information available. But until then, it's a personnel issue.
Okay, well, that answers my question. That's everything I wanted to know. Thank you.
Any other questions on consent calendar?
Kim, I wanted to follow up on that real
sure.
quick. If it never comes out of the world of being a personnel-related issue, it remains silent. We remain silent on it. It's regular district business. We don't share personnel-related matters with the public.
Okay, that's fine with me. That's everything I wanted to know.
All right, thanks, Richard. Thanks for noticing. I appreciate the question.
Thank you.
Amelia, if you would continue with the roll call vote for item number 3, consent calendar, please.
President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
And Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 4, staff reports, starting with the general manager's report, please.
Yes, thank you, Board President. This is Tom Henning, general manager. And Amelia, if you'll get to the general manager report, I will get started. We posted this agenda item late because there's a lot of different things going on right now, and I wanted to be as current as possible. To begin with, the COVID response is still the same. We do not intend to open up the district offices until we get the word from the county that that's what they want us to do. We have occasional meetings here, and we make sure that we distance correctly and that we wear PP, personal protection equipment at all times. Laguna Joaquin is a very, very busy subject here going on right now. We released, we did our last treatment with the Vectobac 12AS treatment to try and squelch the midge fly hatch. And I'm told that that's been quite an improvement. While it's still not acceptable, it's improved. And then as the weather gets cooler, the midge fly problem goes away. We have extended the time to get requests, to get bid opportunities to on vendors or consultants who can help evaluate the Laguna Joaquin Basin operations. And I'm pretty good feeling that we're going to get at least two proposals. And then you can read the bullets yourself, but hopefully we're not applying any sort of Vectobac or anything to Laguna Joaquin next year, and that we have the midge fly problem and any other little flying insect problem under much better control. In the form of advocacy, does anybody have any questions right now about that, about Laguna Joaquin? I want to provide that opportunity. Okay, not hearing anything.
Excuse me, this is Tony Avampato. I did have a quick question, having missed the follow-up, the precursor to this. I did catch something, and I hope I'm mistaken. They said that if the front Laguna Joaquin was to be dredged, it would be a process of several years. Is that correct or incorrect? And the second part of that question is, does that mean the lake would actually be drained for that period of time?
Well, from the information we have, it's a 4 to 5 year process as to one way of dredging the lake. And in that case, the lake, the basin would not be empty. It would be a process of a dredging machine that kind of basically sucks out all the gunk at the bottom and conveys it over to the drying, at which time, once it's dry enough, it gets bagged up and gets shipped off to someplace. And from what I see, that's like a little barge that has a vacuum on it.
I see. So for all intents and purposes, with some variation, the water level would remain the same in the lake during that process.
If that were the process we would go through, that's what I know. We are in the process of a lot of different things with Laguna Joaquin, but you may see us, if water continues to be coming down the river as it is today, you may see us drain it as much as we can and fill it back up again with cleaner water.
Ideally that would be certainly a great option, but okay. I need a clarification on the dredging, if that was the direction people were going in. I had a question. Thank you.
Yeah, I just follow up. That'll be a very public activity, whatever we end up doing with Laguna Joaquin, because it's in the news everywhere.
Thank you.
You're welcome. In the past few weeks, I've met with the Murrieta Village Association to discuss why their camera system's being delayed, and we're working on that. And then also to discuss any kind of security issues that they might have. And right now, it seems like they're pretty satisfied with the level of security. I've met with the general manager and the director of operations at the RMA. Amelia, could you please mute everybody? For me. Okay. Okay, so we met with the RMA director and director of operations and general manager, and we talked about a number of things, including Laguna Joaquin, general irrigation options, and security. And the security, we're focusing on the golf carts that are being driven by underage drivers, and also the issues that we're having in sections of the district where people are staying up too late without a lot to do on their hands. So we continue to always pay attention to what we need to do a better job with security. The Sacramento Groundwater Authority, the Slough House Resource Conservation District, the Regional Water Authority, all these water-related matters that you may have heard of in the past is, are these things are being attended to by Paul Stevenson, our director of field operations. And he's just kind of monitoring everything to make sure that what we need to be worried about or be concerned with is being addressed, but not spending a lot of time unless we need to get to that direction. And then I normally would provide development related issues, but I find that I'm kind of stepping on the exact same thing that Paul's reporting on. So I pulled this, I'm going to pull this as part of the general manager report, unless there's something specific that's not going to be in Paul's area. So then we go to other district business and the security meeting. So I don't have a security report again this month, a general security report, because of the absence of the security chief. We have hired a interim person to help out with the security administrative side of things, but I'm not ready to produce a report until I get a sense of what we need to report and what we're going to let the RMA report and what we're going to decide going forward with security. We're working with the RMA very closely with our level of service that we're providing. And at this point in time, we're at minimum staffing, which is the staffing approved by Measure J, which is what funds most of security. So any given minute of any given day, we have two gate officers, one at the north and one at the south, and we have a patrol officer on duty. And again, we're meeting with other folks to make sure that where the security needs are churning up, we're trying to meet them. We're doing quite a bit more enforcement with parking and stop signs and speeding at the request of the RMA. And I think it's something we're going to continue to do because it gets our people, it gets our patrol officers out there at all times and kind of around all the neighborhoods, both within and outside the gates. And then on this past Friday, Directors Jenko and Paul and I were given a really nice tour by Paul Stevenson to encompass what Paul calls, and I love this term, from source to course. So from the source of the water, which is the river, over up there at Granley's Dam and in the Fore Bay, all the way to where we pump the water up to the lakes for the golf course to irrigate the fairways. It's important, I think, that we have two engineers on the improvements committee, and that as we do things like reserve studies and long-term planning with the treatment plants that we have, that they have a really good awareness of where we're at, and specifically, you know, the looming maintenance issues that are going up, we're seeing at the wastewater treatment plant as it gets older and older. And then any questions so far? Okay. And then
one comment from Crystal. Crystal, are you on the line? Can you, her hand's up. From Crystal Matter.
Hey, Tom, I was wondering why there's no security report. You'd mentioned in the last meeting that you and the interim chief were taking training on the software, and you would have reports to us. And I'm just concerned because it's been literally months since we've received a security report.
That concerns me, Crystal. And as I said last month, I don't want to produce a report that I'm not comfortable with. And I just have not had the bandwidth to sit down with Angie and to fashion the proper report. We're in the process of working with our vendor. They changed our representative last week. So not a good excuse, but it's what it is. And I apologize for not having a formal security report, but there will be one in November.
I'll address that as well, Tom. Crystal, please understand, from a board perspective, there are higher priority items than producing some report by staff that we don't make operational or fiscal decisions on. So for that reason, and probably that reason alone, plus just the change of staffing issues, we're not putting the highest priority in trying to get some type of security report that we're not comfortable with moving forward. This dates all the way back to, I believe, February of this year, when the annual report was given and there was a high level at staff as well as the board on just what was in that's annual staff report. So from that point forward, it is not the GM's fault or responsibility. It lies with the board, and I'll take the responsibility for that. Tom and I have had numerous conversations because I am on the security committee. There are more important items at all levels of the organization than coming up with whatever report and the minimal information that was provided in the former format. Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Last month, there was a lot to do about the CFD 2014 Melrose bond payment that we received just prior to the board meeting. And our vendor with the Vanessa Burke with the Poon Group had been pointing out to us that she felt there was a problem with how we were handling the accounting for the bond, and she was correct. And we are going through receipts and payments, and we're in the process. We think we've got a pretty good handle on what money was spent and when it was spent and what money needs to be applied to back to the district and what money needs to be sent to Wilmington Trust to pay the bond payers. So I think we're close enough to, I can commit that by the finance committee meeting on November 3rd, I can produce what my preliminary memorandum is going to be, along with actual calculations for the amount of interest to be paid back to the district for the money the district spent out of our accounts to fund the bond payments. In the future, we're going to make a recommendation, but we're going to have the county send money directly to the trustee and have the bond service company work with the trustee to make sure all the bills are being paid on time. If the bills aren't being paid on time, it will become the bond management company's responsibility to notify us and assist us with the collection process. Okay. And then on October 2nd, we reported that last month the security and property taxes behind and outside the gates by property type would be made available. Mr. Sullivan had asked for that. And so if you go scroll down, Amelia, this is what we've provided to Mr. Sullivan. And basically it breaks down even a greater amount, a greater detail for inside the gates. You can see what the country club is contributing, what office space is contributing, what parks, and I believe that's the course, public utilities, oh no, the country club's at the top, sorry about that, but park fees, recreational costs, and then the residential numbers there, and then the villas, and then the vacant property. And so, and you get the same level of detail for the properties on the other side of the highway. So this is, I hope I answered your question, John. You haven't asked for more information since we gave you this, so I'm assuming that this is pretty good. And if you do need more information, just let me know and we can further dissect this spreadsheet. And then moving on, at the request of the board, I sent a letter to a resident who was building bike trails, and the resident contacted me and asked me to go with him to show me some of the trails that he had been building, and I did that. I had a brisk 2-mile hike the other Tuesday morning, and I had sent him another letter, and he told me that he was going to write me a letter confirming that he's no longer going to build new trails, and I have received that letter, and we have it with the file that contains the two letters I wrote asking him to stop. The tail end of that story of the trails is there's trails dug on property that belongs to the golf course, and my request is that he return those trails to their natural state. But I told him maybe the golf course might be willing to consider adding these to the trail map. And I don't know, that's not my gig. I'm just here to take it as far as I've taken it. So I left it with the resident in his hands, and he can go with it from where he's at. We had a nice meeting with President Mabee, myself, and the president of the RMA and the GM, a stakeholder meeting between the two of us. And we discussed Laguna Joaquin, we discussed security again, and then the wooden bridge conveyance, which we'll probably bring to the board in the next month or two. Director Jinko and I, as well as Cindy, we met with the union rep and our union shop stewards 2 weeks ago. We're going to meet again next Tuesday to update our MOU with the union, which is we entered into a three-year contract the last time, and we're proposing to enter into another three-year agreement for our represented staff. And our represented staff consists of most of the utility workers, not the supervisors, and all the gate officers and patrol officers, as well as some office staff. Mamie and Liz are both represented by the union, the OE3 union. Moving on, everybody, or a lot of people will know that the VIP, we no longer have a VIP here at the district, and there's really not any anticipation that that's gonna change. We have a 2006 Ford Ranger pickup that's 14 years old or 16 years old with 12,000 miles on it. And we have two patrol vehicles that are in the shop a lot because it's just not a good model of vehicle, or it gets a lot of wear and tear in Rancho Marietta. So we're gonna convert the Ford Ranger pickup to be able to be used as a patrol vehicle, as another vehicle. And if it comes time that the VIPs come back to the district, we will change some of the signage on the vehicle and we'll share it with that person. Then the next thing is we're putting out shortly a request for quote to do an opinion survey on what the district's appetite for the possibility of going out to the voters again to revise how we pay for security. And we're going to bring this to the Finance Committee in 2 weeks. We'll bring the full document and share it. And then if necessary, we'll take it to the board again in November, or hopefully we can just release the RFQ at that time. And basically, as it's spelled out right now, phase one consists of those, eight bullets, with bullet number three being meetings and workshops with stakeholder groups. So we're going to make sure that the particular groups here in the community have a say and what questions are going to be asked by the professional survey company. And then we'll go out and we'll do it. And hopefully by January, February timeframe, we start seeing what the results are going to be. And if it's possible that if we were to take a referendum to the voters, that we would get a 2/3 approval, which is what it requires to pass any sort of referendum here in the district. Some conference and training. Does anybody have any questions? Sometimes I start going too fast.
Yes, we do have questions. Let us start. I'm going to go in the order that they were received on the chat. And I think it's Lainey. Am I saying your name right?
It looks like Lainey.
Lainey, are you muted? Unmute.
Yes. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And your last name, Lainey, for the record?
Hashorva.
Would you kindly spell that for me?
Sure. Hashorva.
I appreciate it. Welcome to the community.
Thank you. I've just been listening, and I was just reiterating what Crystal's concerns were, because there's an ongoing conversation right now on the Nextdoor app with almost 200 comments and concerns from residents about the issues that you guys are discussing about the security team. And that is a reason why I moved here. So that was my main concern, is that some of the questions that Crystal was asking, I'm in support of in knowing those answers and what's going on in terms of the security being what they are and up to par, or if there's people that are considering diminishing the quality of the security or the staff or privatizing it, because that seems troubling to me.
Lainey, to maybe a board member, welcome to the neighborhood. I was going to say hood, but I'll try and keep all humor out of the meeting. One, at no point has a board member individually or collectively determined what we're going to do. And I'll reflect off of the comment that you made, that there are several hundred comments on, and I don't do social media. It's vile. Most of it's completely inaccurate. So the only thing I can tell you is we have public meetings, we have security meetings, and I'll just give it to you in a nutshell. We are upside down, $464,000 in the red in the security department. This board, along with staff, has determined we are going to fix that. So that is the driving issue here. It's not about the level of security, who does it. Your comment about if we privatize it, somehow that's degrading. I don't understand that. I haven't even looked at that. But in a nutshell, and I saw in the chat thing that Crystal Matters agrees with you, we're keeping it a secret. We're not transparent. You either contact a director, you contact the general manager, or you go to the district's website for official information. And the GM just put out our next phase. We've been very clear, we're methodical in what we're doing, and we're gonna get the fiscal issue in order. The fiscal issue will drive the level of service. Now, what will drive the level of service ultimately is 2/3 of this community is gonna determine that they want to pay extra in higher tax fees, then that gives the district an opportunity to completely reorganize security as it is. In the meantime, you heard that we don't have a report, a monthly report, because we have other priorities, A, as a district, and B, within security to deal with things. So it's not that we're trying to hide something. It's not that we're engineering, restructuring, or trying to do away with anything with security. It's purely to try and bring it into alignment and deal with what we have with the resources, in this case, our employees, to the best ability that we can. So I know it was quick. I know it was a nutshell. You're seeing from the GM the direction that's being given from the board to move forward, but it's being driven, like I said, purely from a fiscal issue that's been going on in this community for a few years, and we're going to try and correct it this budget cycle and into the next budget cycle.
Well, can I ask though how it got so deeply spun out in terms of the budget?
Sure. In a nutshell, it can only go up 2% per year from the 1998 baseline. We know purely the cost of living, pay raises, just the consumer price index, all of that is going to completely throw it to where it goes into the red. We have similar but different with drainage. So we're looking at that as well, that we are using general fund, which is legal as opposed to illegal activity. We are able to do that, and we're looking at the drainage as well, that we're supplementing it from our general fund. And that wasn't the intent in the tax referendum of 98. So this board, along with staff, has decided to address it. Now, how it got here or why, that is prior board members, that is prior district management. I can't answer that. We're here, it's been brought to our attention, and we're addressing it. So to that end, that's kind of the avenue that we're taking. I couldn't tell you if people are happy or not. I don't participate in the social media stuff. We have a forum here along with committee meetings, and I know the GM can attest to it. If somebody has grave concerns or even minor concerns, they in fact contact him and get the most accurate information, as opposed to just a bunch of people chatting about something they really don't have any idea.
Well, Nextdoor isn't as much social media as it is just people within this community. You know what I mean? You can decide the parameters, and the parameters of it are all just people within Rancho Murrieta, the residents that pay for this, for the security, and are concerned about what's going on. That's why.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. Since I happen to live in the neighborhood, I pay the security tax. And as a member of the board, the fiduciary responsibility, and just purely going back to what the 1998 tax issue and what it states, we are going to bring it into alignment. That was the intent in 98. You see from what the general managers talked about here, we have a game plan to move forward, to educate the community, to have the community have some input, and then ultimately the community is going to decide. And they're going to decide, no, we don't want to pay extra. There it is. If they want to pay extra, then here's the baseline or however that shakes out. Now it's a level of service issue. But either way, at no point, and the other board members can jump in, at no point has a board member made a decision, given direction to staff, and somebody on the chat group here typed, you know, why aren't they transparent? We have public meetings. We make decisions in public. Again, when that gets perpetuated, and I don't care if it's Nextdoor or across the street app, whatever you have, that does nothing to really educate anybody or really further the conversation, knowing the facts and really what the parameters are that are put on this board.
Tim, it's John. May I comment?
Director Merchant, please.
Yeah, Lainey, I do follow the social media, and I and you may have noticed in the past, I'm quite happy to post on there. I followed that string, that 145 comments, and in that particular case, I have to tell you that about 2/3 of what I read on there was absolutely wrong. There's just no other way to say it. I mean, there are people that were on there, and they are members of the community, who are just starting with the basics, don't know which of the community entities is actually providing their security. There is a misrepresentation, and I think Tim did a good job of describing it, that, you know, there is a predisposed position that this board has taken on what they're going to do. I went on the Facebook website, because unfortunately the Nextdoor site will not accept the document, but I put what I believe was about 5.5 pages of information on the Facebook website that clearly identified with the data what the problem was. And what I was, and I was speaking for myself, proposing that we would attempt to do to rectify the problem. I guess that was a waste of time, because there's probably about two people that read that.
Well, you'd have to share that link into the conversation
it's up there. If I can have an email for you, I will send it to you.
Yeah, but you can also share that link, just copy paste that link into the conversation, because so many of the residents weren't even aware of most of these issues going on, I guess, is what you've probably seen.
Excuse me. I get what you're saying, Lainey. Director Merchant, I wasn't aware that you did that, but I appreciate that. I don't really want to get bogged down into anything to do with social media. There's three ways to get information: speak to a director, speak to staff, go to the district website. It appears we did something on the district website, i.e. Facebook, and no one really partook in that or shared or disseminated that information. So, Lainey, I would encourage you offline to make an appointment with the GM if you feel this strongly about it. I won't speak for the GM, but I know he will make time for you. And this is a very cumbersome, very evolving document or understanding how we got here. I think it would be very helpful to go to the district Facebook, read the document, make an appointment with the GM, because again, there's really only a couple ways of getting the information straight, and one of them is participating in this open forum of a meeting that we have. But I don't want to digress into social media, what we need to do, and all those other things. We're here to cover the GM's report, and he's presenting it out. Like I said, I don't want to take up everybody else's time on this issue, but I would implore you to contact the general manager, schedule some time, read the document the director Merchant put up, and because it is going, this isn't going away. We have several more months of this being an issue on the forefront, and you can just see we're starting the process right now.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I just am trying to understand it and learn from it. And most of the way everyone else gets their information is via sharing information online rather than during a pandemic making an appointment with somebody physically right now.
Right. So what I would tell you again is the governmental agency, CSD, that provides security will not participate in this social media stuff. Like I said, it could be well intended, but it's absolutely misinformed, and Director Merchant said that. So the only options we have are participate here, the committee meetings. If you can't make an appointment, then I would implore you to make a phone call appointment with the GM to be brought up to speed from that standpoint. Has nothing to do with the pandemic, has nothing to do with this lockdown that's being caused on us. The board is moving a certain direction. Staff is being given direction. The GM reported back the status of it, and that's kind of where we're at this point. So that's what I would ask you to do, and we need to move on to some other items.
Yeah, that's why I'm Zooming with the meeting today. It was just, you know, online.
Director, maybe I do have other hands raised. Will you consider?
Sure.
All right, then. Crystal, you are just first in line.
So my comments generally in there, the board is and maybe restructuring is the wrong term, but the board is making security and the budget a priority with an eye towards security. And I'm concerned that if that's a priority, we should be making any information related to security, i.e. security reports of what's going on in the community, a priority to get to residents. And so while I appreciate the accountability in saying that it has not been made a priority by the board, for me, it's unacceptable. The chief has the ability to pull those reports, and if you guys can't get a hold of him, if he's unable to provide that while he's on leave, I would respectfully request that you guys contact the data company and see how to get it done in his absence. I know there's an interim chief, and I'm sure she's completely capable of trying to sort this out. And so I would just urge you to make it a priority, since security is a priority for this year.
Tim, John, can I ask Tom, we're still, this has no impact on the log, does it? We still publishing the security log?
Yes, we still publish the security log. It goes to a few people on a regular basis. I think a million.
It goes in the newspaper every week too, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. And I want to revert back to what I said earlier when I was saying why I wasn't producing a report. I am in contact with the software provider that we run our security division with, both the gates and patrol. And we thought we were making some progress. It's a company in Florida, and they changed our representative. So we got to start all over again, explaining to this guy what we're trying to do. And so we had a conversation with them this afternoon. I'm following up with a couple of questions already. It's unfortunate, but it's a difficult thing to figure out, to pull reports out of a system you're not familiar with. Jeff was the only person who knew how to work this system, and he's not available to talk to right now. So we'll make progress. I told you guys I'd have something ready by the security committee, and that's what I will do.
And just for the sake of clarity, the information that's published is all calls, including calls to the sheriff's department, or is anything removed from the information that's published in the newspaper or otherwise?
Oh, there's a lot more reports that are coming out every day. Gail picks the ones that she wants, you know, she thinks that are interesting, and we redact any personal information before sharing that. But there are quite a few more calls that you don't see in the newspaper.
So that part is especially concerning to me because I know that the chief had previously, I think it was broken down in terms of categories. And while the details may not be there, we at least knew the categories that were discussed. So I'm just concerned that we aren't actually getting the data of what's going on here. And I think that's incredibly important when people are going to be making decisions on what security looks like going forward with respect to the polls. So I said my piece. I won't say any more about it, but I'd appreciate the consideration and I appreciate your efforts in working with the software company.
Thank you.
I do have two more.
Amelia, did you have somebody else?
Yes,
sure.
I have two more people. John Sullivan, you are next in line. He's been having trouble with his talking lately. You're not muted. Can you call in?
As you're working with that individual, was there somebody else, Amelia?
Yes, Mr. Richard Gears had a comment.
Yeah, back to some more mundane stuff about security. Over in the village here, I've been hearing reports about sheriff's deputies driving by on a regular basis, and there's some speculation that they were being hired to fill in for missing patrol officers, and I was wondering if there's any truth to that.
There is zero truth to that. They're okay. Patrolling where they need to patrol.
Okay, thank you. And one other question. I've been noticing some other vehicles. I'm used to the white patrol vehicles, but I've been noticing off and on a black one that says district security. Is that CSD security?
Yes, that's the district. That's a district vehicle, and Rick Tompkins prefers to drive that vehicle because he's bigger than the other security guys. He's taller.
Okay, I can identify with that.
More comfortable.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Amelia, did we get back Mr. Sullivan?
He's got his hand up again. Can you hear us, Mr. Sullivan? Well, if you will write something in the chat log, I'll read it out to everyone, sir.
Very good. Let's move on. Tom, continue, please.
Okay, so we finished that. So conference and educational opportunities. It looks like CSDA is hoping to have live meetings again. So they have a Spring Education Day in Sacramento in March, and the District Leadership Academy in April in San Diego. The Leadership Academy is very useful. And then California Water Agencies, ACWA, has a meeting in Monterey, 3 days in the spring. I'm not sure when that is so far. We've added Angie Avila to our team as the Interim Security Chief. She's not on the call tonight because I didn't want her to have to try and answer all the questions with such a short amount of time in the seat. I'm very happy to say that Ed McMurray, we hired Ed as an operator in training, I think less than a year ago, and he promoted to an operator one position recently. And then Bill McCarver, who a lot of people see out, he's a part-time retired annuitant working for us in patrol and sometimes at gate. He's received a nice compliment card from a resident. And then Amelia's gonna be on vacation to Disney World. So we're shutting down the district. No work's gonna be done. Now Amelia's gonna be gone for about a week and a half. So all the work she does on an everyday basis is gonna be missed. So we're gonna miss Amelia. We make her quarantine for a couple days when she gets back after coming back from Florida. And with that, I'm done with the GM report.
Thank you, Tom. Did we get a hold of Mr. Sullivan, Amelia?
John, can you talk to us?
I'm here.
Stay on.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Mr. Sullivan.
I wanted to thank Tom for getting those security billing details. I've got a few more extrapolations. He told me it's not going to be a problem with the Excel spreadsheet, so I'll forward that request to him by email. Thank you.
Yes, please. If you have those questions, the more that we can get detailed out, the better it's going to be as we move to the next phase of providing this to all the stakeholders. So thank you. Following on staff reports, item B, administration financial report. I believe this is Cindy.
Yes, it's my turn. If nobody has questions regarding the bills paid memo and bills paid listing, I'd like to start with the finance report.
Please go ahead.
Questions? Bills paid memo, bills paid listing?
I don't have any hands raised, Cindy. Go ahead with the report.
So I want to start with the residential water consumption. September 2019, more lower than September 2019.
Cindy, you're breaking up. Can you speak right into your computer?
Yes. How about now? What about now?
That's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Lower than last month. And so the year-to-date water consumption numbers using the weighted average numbers, and based on the report I pulled from the system, there are 113 more meters and 71 more homes and more accounts receiving water services than September 2019. That's because Marietta Gardens two homes have 2 meters. One is regular potable water, so the other one is for recycled water. So for commercial water consumption, it was really low this month, and because raw water this month was compared with the historical data was really, really low. I'm using the data from the system, but Paul has a different data source, so I'm working with Paul. We're doing the investigating on the cause of that. On to Paul, do you have anything to say about that?
No, we have the same data source. It's just a single point meter. It just didn't seem to be in line with past data. And so that was the concern. That's it.
Okay. All right. Moving on to the lockoffs. We don't have any lockoffs in September 2020. And pay agreements. We're still calling the customers, try to set up pay agreements with customers that are delinquent. We set up one, but it's not due to the COVID-19. And he just didn't get billed for a period of time. So we're back billing him. Connection fees, there was no connection fees paid in September 2020. Moving on to the aging report, we reported to the finance committee on October 6th. And so since then, we have more people paid. You can see the number of aged account numbers reduced since October 6th. If you have questions, Michelle can answer those questions regarding the aging report. So in moving on to the reserve account as of September 30th, 2020, compared with last month, we have an increase of $44,000. Then I'd like to talk about the budget to actual comparison. The revenue, so what for water revenue is 0.73% above budget, and sewer is 0.27% below budget. Drainage is 0.37% below budget. Solid waste is 0.29% above budget, and security is 1.46% below budget. And the district's overall expenditures for 2020-21, as of September 30th, 2020, are 421,108 below budget. And we have two reserve fund purchases. Total are 24,262, which one is for the CIP project 21-0903, which is for the plate reader, and the other one is for CIP project number 21-10-03, which is for the security camera memory. Both purchases are from, we spend the money from the security replacement reserve. Then you can see the budget to actual comparison report, and we reported to the finance committee in early October regarding the new format of the security detailed budget. And we told the committee members that we're going to apply the same format to other funds as well. And this is the first time we present the board with the new format, and which is not perfect. I'm still trying to make changes here and there. If you have any questions, I'd like to answer your questions regarding these reports.
I have a question.
Okay. From Les Clark, note that the security budget may not yet include admin costs attributed. Mr. Clark, are you on the line? Can you speak with us?
Hello?
Amelia, this is Les Clark. I just wanted to know whether or not the security charges that were reported in the last presentation year to date that indicate is below budget by $18,607. Does that include the admin costs, or does that exclude the admin costs that are to be reflected later on, thus resulting in the additional above budget security chart issues or funding?
If you are talking about what I have reported on page, the last page of the finance report, which is only for revenue, the security charge, the 1.40% above budget, that's only for revenue.
I'm gonna chime in. This is Tom Hinder. Les, we do have the administrative allocations built into these budget reports, and those allocations are recalculated every month.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. I just wanted to ask the question so that all understood the facts. Thank you.
Yeah, great. I appreciate that.
Cindy, I believe you left us with, if any of the board members have a question on the new formatting. I notice it. I like it. It gives a snapshot of where we're at. So, and I get it's not, as you said, perfect. We're not shooting for perfect, but it's pretty close. So thank you. Any other board members, questions for Cindy? Not hearing any. Does that conclude your report, Cindy?
I do have one more comment.
Okay.
Mr. Sullivan, can you still speak with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So my question is, if you go to the water department, and you look under source of supply,
Supply. Mm-hmm.
Am I on the right page? Am I following you?
So in the water department, there's a section called Source of Supply, SOS. So you need to scroll down and, okay, so in stop. Go up a little bit. So it says water SOS, that's Source of Supply. There shouldn't be power costs of $13,000 for the quarter. That's July, August, and September, if I'm correct. And we don't pump any water to Source of Supply, which is storage, during that period. And I'm wondering how that could be 13,000. Budget was five for the month. There was a budget of 1,700, which I'm surprised that it's hardly anything, because by May 31st we've pumped everything, unless we're reporting when we pay SMUD, but that should reflect when we did all our pumping. So if we've got 62,834, if that's what the power costs are for the year budgeted, most of that all gets spent from November 1 till May 31st, and not July, August, and September. So that's my question.
So, John and Cindy, this is Paul Stevenson, Director of Field Operations. I can comment on that if you'd like. So as part of Source of Supply, I believe the Rio Oso Pumping Station, which serves Unit 3 and 4 and Units 3B, and that's under continual pumping, that is charged to Source of Supply as well. And then as a legacy cost from pumping from the Granley's pump station down at the Cosumnes River up to the storage reservoirs, there's what's referred to as a demand charge that gets carried through for all 12 months. And so it might be those costs.
Well, I'm aware of the demand charges, but I'm surprised. Was that Rio Oso Source of Supply a number that was given to the consultant when they did the analysis of Source of Supply? Because that's long after the water treatment. It's in the distribution side of the business.
John, this is Tom Hing. These are good questions. Allow us the opportunity to do some research and get back to you.
Absolutely. No problem. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. Any other questions on the finance report? Cindy, not hearing any. If you don't have any hands raised. Moving on, staff reports 4C was already covered. We're on to 4D, and Paul, you've jumped in on a couple of items, so this one's all yours.
All right, thank you, Director Mabee. So good evening, board members and staff and the public. I'm just going to touch on a few key items instead of going verbatim through my staff report. Demand is down in the system, as it typically is after the hot summer months. So our average daily demand is about 1.88 million gallons per day right now. And then, of course, it's going to lessen as the days get shorter and the nights cooler. Hopefully people will stop irrigating as much and cut back their water use. As it relates to gallons per capita per day per connection, which is our way of rating how we're doing with our 2020 plan, which is conserving 20% of our water by the year 2020, which we're in, we are down 7.8% as compared to that base year of 2013. And scrolling down, Amelia, please scroll down. As it relates to sources of supply, you can see on the graph there, we're at the low point of where the graph's at as far as supply, and dipping down until we can begin pumping from the Cosumnes River again. We may begin pumping after November 1st when the river flows are over 70 CFS. However, we typically wait until the river flushes itself out a few times and do our best to get the best quality water up into our reservoirs while still having enough time remaining to fill the reservoirs by the end of May 31st of next year. And so moving on to wastewater collection, treatment, and reclamation. Average inflow was about 402,000 gallons per day. We are drawing down our secondary storage, so we're able to have enough secondary storage to collect all the wastewater that flows into our facilities over the winter months. We're doing very good on that aspect, as shown in the graph, as Amelia is scrolling down to. The blue line is representative of the secondary storage levels, and we're dipping pretty low there. And we've also coordinated with the country club that the last day is going to be about a week from now, as it relates to supplying them reclaimed water. And then from that point, they live off the storage they have and begin drawing down their reservoirs so they don't overflow their storage ponds that contain recycled water. And that's all part of typical operation. And so we coordinate with that. On the sewer collection side of things, scrolling down, Amelia, there's no major issues there. Drainage, we didn't spend as much time as we would have liked to in drainage. We have a temporary staff member that we had remain home quite a bit because the air quality was very poor and it was not good working conditions for that individual. And so we did not want to put him in harm's way weed whacking with this bad air quality and heat and everything that was going on last month. As it relates to utility staff work, just did typical meter replacements, seven 3/4-inch meters, two 2-inch meters, and three radio read units that convey the meter reading data to the computer as it is being driven by through the community to read the meters. And then a big thing is we had 5 water leaks this past month of September. That's a lot for a month for us. So don't know if it's because the ground's just contracted enough with the dry weather we've had this summer, so that it just starts pulling lines and fittings. But that was a hardship for staff to deal with all those water leaks we had. And then scrolling down to just a few items of note, I followed up from the last board meeting of providing Mr. Sullivan contacts for the Riverview project, so he may discuss his concerns directly with that project. And at the water treatment plant, as shown in the photograph here in the packet, we have what's referred to as a sludge drying bed. So as part of the water treatment process, we remove solids as part of the filtration process. And those solids need to get completely removed. So they go to a drying bed, which is a containment structure that allows water to percolate through sand and into a catchment system that's underneath the drying bed, while allowing solar drying to occur on the surface. What we discovered is that this drying bed in particular that was expanded during the water treatment plant expansion project didn't seem to be functioning very well. We had problems with it drying out and functioning correctly. So we focused on getting that dried out, and this would typically be our driest month. So that's why we did it this month. And then we excavated it. If you scroll down a little further, Amelia, and we discovered that per the as-built plans, it should have looked like, or not as-built, but per the engineering drawings, it should have looked like this with the underdrain system. And then if you scroll down further, Amelia, what was seen from some legacy construction photos that were discovered, that they had gunited, which is concreted the entire portion of the basin, and then just put in a Y connection with just 2 4-inch corrugated like type of yard drain pipes, which is not sufficient at all for draining that large of an area. So I'm going back in with staff. We're gonna rectify that and make it function the way it should function. And so just moving on, Amelia, if you could scroll down further. Moving on to another project that at the wastewater reclamation plant, we're gonna have some costs ahead of us this winter when the reclamation facility is offline. We had discovered that while it was in operation early in the seasoning, in the season, that a pipe had blown out due to rust. It's a highly corrosive condition in the DAF tank, the dissolved air flotation tank. as it's subject to fine air bubbles and high levels of chlorine. So any pinholes in the coatings or scratches or will just subject themselves to severe corrosion issues. And so we're going to try to fix that this winter. We've already brought in several suppliers to try to give us some quotes on what's needed there. And so hopefully I'll have something to report back to the next improvements committee meeting. And if not next month, the month after that in December. So we're just working to make sure that we have everything up in our facility in operation in time for next reclamation season. If you could scroll down further, Amelia. Moving on to district projects with the water rights renewal, the applications and fees have been submitted and we've received receipts for the application being processed and it's been assigned to a staff member at the State Water Resources Control Board. However, as conveyed many times prior, that it may be quite a while before they get to this. And our water right will not expire, it just stays as is until they're able to get to our application. Again, the recycled water untreated fee study is on hold. Moving on with the chlorine gas to sodium hypochlorite conversion, we're still working forward on that project. Right now, we have spent about $126,000 on the project, but that seems like a lot on the project, but that is even less than the engineering would have been to even begin the project. So the board had approved back in December of 2019 that they allow me to proceed with trying to get this done in-house with staff and our expertise, along with vendors to accomplish what is needed for this project. And then when the project's said and done, have an engineering firm come in to as-built what we have been done. So I appreciate that the board has allowed me to do this because we have saved quite a bit of money to this point. And we do have a lot of looming costs still ahead of us. We need to tie in our chemical feed systems into a SCADA system. SCADA is Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition, which is the computer control center that would have the logic and graphics on a computer screen that you can click on to control the chemical feed systems, as well as to tie in what are going to be the tank levels. So it'll show you graphics of how full the tanks are and when they need to be refilled. And also in the future to provide control feedback loops for modulating chemical feeds as it relates to flow and chlorine residual being monitored. And if you could scroll down further, Amelia. So on the dam inundation mapping and emergency action plans, that's still proceeding. So for our plans for Calero, Chesbro, and Michigan Bar 1 dams have been submitted to Sac County OES. And they have provided a notice of receipt. So that is a step forward that they've recognized that those have been submitted. However, they have not provided any comment back. And I don't assume we will get any anytime soon as they are reportedly inundated with reviewing these type of plans all over the state. As it relates to this, moving on to the 6B sewer lift station, programmable logic controller and electrical backpan replacement. That project is done. It's about 99% done. We're still just waiting on a final operations manual from the vendor, which is Tesco Controls. But everything's been functioning very well there. Staff can get all the information they need from the front end of the panels, and all the electrical back behind the panels has been replaced and up to date. And so everything's nice and clean there. And we all have a system that potentially can be tied into a future SCADA system to have that site monitored and controlled in the future as well. So scroll down, Amelia, please. Moving on to development projects. So for the Retreats East and North development project reports that the tentative map has been extended with Sacramento County. For the Rancho Murrieta North development project, we have not received any information from the DISP, you know, to us, ourselves. However, the project reports that they are continuing to work on a traffic study, greenhouse gas study, and a schedule and notice of preparation. And then I provided what a notice of preparation is, which is a brief notice sent by the lead agency to notify the responsible agencies that the lead agency plans to prepare an environmental impact review. And why that's important to note is that the EIR, or environmental impact review, would be the point at which
public comment can be received. Moving on to the project, higher up 16 offsite improvements. There's no update on that. Lot 4 and 5, they requested water irrigation services, which the district has installed.
Paul, this is Tom.
Yes, sir.
Your voice was really going crazy for a minute there. Maybe you changed where you're talking to. That's all.
I'm sorry. Where was the last point you could hear me?
About 30 seconds ago.
Yeah, can you go back to maybe Murrieta Gardens, Lot 4 and 5?
That's where I'm at. Murrieta Gardens, Lot 4 and 5, they've requested irrigation services, and we have installed those irrigation meters for that project. They just have, they're looking for complete sign-off of the project from the district, and so we had been relying on Coastland Inspection Services to do the work over there. However, in an effort to help the developers save money, we're going to do some of those inspection services in-house. And Ron Greenfield, our utility supervisor, has stepped up and done an excellent job providing those inspection services up to this point. And I believe there may be like one or two items pending on that project for full closeout. But I need to do a little more research as it relates to that. Scrolling down on the Murrieta Marketplace, really no comment on that. There was just some discussion about bonding as it related to the drainage detention basin, in which that falls under that section of project. So the Murrieta Gardens project as a whole had subdivided it itself into many sub-projects, the Murrieta Marketplace being one of them. And so they chose to include the drainage detention basin that functions for the Murrieta Gardens to put that in that project. And there was concerns about a bond being issued for that project. And that was in discussion with General Manager Tom Hennig and the developer as to finalizing what was needed for that. Any comments to this point? Can everybody hear me?
Doing fine, continue please.
All right, Murrieta Gardens Legacy Villas and Suites, otherwise known as Lot 7. They have provided plans and Coastland has reviewed those plans. Lori, can you provide an update as of where we're at today with that?
Yes, I can. This is Lori Loeza from Coastland. So last week we provided a comment letter to their plans. The comment letter mostly consisted of needing to get daily flow calculations, EDUs, primarily so we can calculate fees, but it's also just required under Chapter 8 of the district code. So I talked to Mike Robertson last week. He's working on it. There's a few other little minor things related to that, figuring out the meter sizes. But that project is very, very close to approval. And so we're excited about getting rolling on it.
Okay, thank you, Lori. If you could scroll down, Amelia.
And actually, Paul, if we get to Lot 11, I can give you a better update than what you have there as well.
All right, please go ahead.
Okay, so Lot 11, since this was written, we provided plan comments back to them, I think October 9th, last Monday. And it's also very in a similar place as Legacy Villa in that they are very close to approval, just need some EDU calculations. From an engineering perspective, the plans look good.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And no updates on Lot 10 or Murrieta Gardens 1 and 2 infrastructure. Murrieta Business Park, nothing really related to the district. However, they paid their fees for the water service and we've installed the meters as required there. And they're continuing to complete the buildings over there and they hope to have their project wrapped up by the end of this calendar year. On the residents of Murrieta Hills East, no update from that project. On Riverview, Lori, maybe you have a better update than what I've had from this since I wrote this for the improvements committee.
Sure. So Riverview, we are on the second submittal, but the second submittal, they've changed the scope of the project a bit. They're only going to build a few lots, but they are grading the whole thing and they're grading it pretty tight to within a couple of tenths. So we need to make sure that for letting them do that, that they have adequate utility cover and other technical things. So we are still reviewing that. We expect to be done with it probably next week. And that should be, they should be good to go. We're also working with Sac County on that, I think, regarding the storm drainage as required. So that project is rolling along. I believe they would like to start grading pretty soon. So that's, you know, partially why we want to make sure that it's good, you know, that's tight.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
This is maybe, Kim, this is maybe for you, but in that, when you're looking at the Riverview map that is provided there, the gray area inside the property line that's north of the yellow and the purple along the river there?
Yes.
The engineers for Riverview indicated that the county was looking for a path, I think along the purple and the edge of the purple and yellow, but it would be helpful if whoever's involved from CSD on parks take a look at that, because I'm not sure what if the county's thinking the same thing as everybody else, and I don't know that that's included on a trail map. And along there, you know, is the initiation of one of the trails that the individual who was building trails was building, and that ends up being punched out at the cart path between the 9th green and the 10th tee of the South Golf Course on the Country Club property. So it would be helpful if we could do a coordination call or meeting on that to make sure that the trail that the county's talking about is the same one that'll be on the trail map if anybody, you know, correlates those two, because it goes right, you know, as you know, you come off the the cart path over there on the west side, and then you can see at the top left hand corner there's trails that go, you know, along the river frontage, and it's very confusing what the county may be asking versus what may be there that could be utilized, or what, as Tom said earlier, eradicated. So I'd like to ask that we get that coordinated as early as possible. Thank you.
Mr. Sullivan, thank you for that input. Two things. Director Butler is the district representative for the Parks Committee, and she and I have had some conversation as recently as late last week. I met with the RMA president and GM, as with the district GM, to specifically talk about the Parks Committee, make sure we've got the right representation, and then specifically about the trails itself. So Tom and I will follow up tomorrow with this and make sure that at least the Parks Committee understands, like you said, what the county understands, because my understanding from being on the Parks Committee from the RMA side was that whole trail was a temporary trail anyways, the pavement itself. So I'm not sure when the permanent pavement gets put in, widened, et cetera. So duly noted, and we'll follow up with that. Thank you. Go ahead, Paul.
That's pretty much it.
Paul, I have a question on that. Can we go back to the map for a minute? Yeah, one of the questions that maybe Linda can ask, or I don't know where the overlay for trails actually is as it relates to what I'm looking at here. Where and when does the temporary trail that Tim was talking about go away? I'd really like to know that, because if they in fact are going to plow the whole thing, I'm not seeing, you know, what this would assume that we would be replacing that existing trail with a paved street, I believe, at some point in time. But I'm just wondering where in the cycle all this stuff happens.
So as we're water, sewer, and drainage, we don't get this information. However, I can request it. I believe it's being coordinated possibly with the Rancho Murrieta Association that's already operating the Riverview Park for the project. But I can try to coordinate and find out some of this information and then share it back with everyone.
And are you, Paul, is it your authority on this as they begin this this grading? Is there a SIP on this, or is there an overview that we provide? You've got lots up there that run downhill towards the river. I'm just wondering what kind of control we have over that grading.
Yeah, so grading with Sacramento County, and then we are the MS4 permit holder in the drainage system. So we are responsible for making sure that they have their SWIPs, which is Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan items in place. And then Lori, do you want to comment on any of that?
I think I missed a little piece of that, but Stormwater Pollution, can you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Well, I was just concerned, Lori, that if this is going to be a wholesale grading, in other words, they're going to grade the whole project at once, that we had the proper controls in place to make sure that they were protected from, you know, whatever drainage issues we might have as a result of them doing it that way.
Yeah, that's it. Paul's 100% correct, and I apologize for missing your comment. But yeah, no, they because it's such a large grading area, they will be required to put proper storm water control in place. In fact, that's part of what I'm reviewing in the plan set, is their erosion control plans and making sure they have what's called best management practices in place. You know, your straw wattles, your sediment ponds, whatever they choose to use, we're making sure that they're covering it and that they're following the law.
And do we have a precise timetable as to when this is going to commence?
I do not. I had understood from them vaguely that they had wanted to get started on this, you know, before the rainy season, or, you know, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, that would be my principal concern, is that, you know, we're now beginning to get to the 1st of October here, and we're talking about a wholesale grading of the entire area, and which runs smack dab into the rainy season. I just question whether that's advisable.
Well, you know, that's why the state, the state's SWIP plan covers that pretty. They have a general permit in a lot of detail, and a project of this size, you know, they're used to dealing with that. So I think, you know, they'll hopefully get some good contractors out there. And I can tell you the plans that I've been looking at, you know, are by an engineer who know what they're doing. So I think they'll have to take precautions. There's obviously a lot more scrutiny when you're dealing with the rainy season. And, you know, but I don't think the district has any, all we can do is make sure they have the precautions in place. We can't control when they start grading. That's unfortunately kind of up to them.
Well, I'm not as concerned about that as we're just going to, you know, we're just going to sit by here in good faith that somebody's going to take care of this, or what?
They will. I mean, they're required to. That's part of their permit.
Yeah, they've been here before, and they've been required to do a lot of things.
Okay, I think a couple of things here. I don't mean to cut you off, Lori.
Sure.
Director Merchant, on your question about when that temporary trail around the Riverview Park itself goes away, that was part of the discussion I had with the RMA president last week, specifically that it's a requirement that we have access across the river. That's the reason why the rickety old bridge was put in place. So I'll meet with the general manager. We'll get our questions down and formally move that portion forward. The question I had for RMA was, what are they doing in the meantime, even when they're doing the grading? Is there going to be a designated path, and then come the winter time, there still has to be a temporary path? So everyone's thinking kind of the same thing. We'll just kind of put it in writing, start formalizing our concerns, and move it forward through the Parks Committee from that standpoint. Paul, did you have – yes.
No, but
go ahead.
This is Linda.
Go ahead.
Okay. This comes under the heading of hearsay, but there has been a lot of conversation about that path. It doesn't have a name, apparently, but it is for carts and bicycles and kids and, walkers, et cetera. And what I have heard is that they're going to be widening it ultimately, and so it will be quite a bit wider, and also that during this process, this is hearsay, the country club is going to possibly open the gates up there on Seguridad and have the people will have the ability to go from Seguridad, the top of Seguridad, up to that the cart path that's only for golf carts at this point. So, like I said, it's hearsay, but there is definitely going to be a concern and a problem as far as how that's handled and when RMA gets together with, I would imagine getting together with Raynon and Bardis and when they're going to start, et cetera. So that's what I've heard about it.
Very good. Thank you. So we're all on kind of the same page here. So we'll kind of formalize what we got out of this, the general manager and I, and then we'll follow up with RMA at the last stakeholders meeting. The one before last, that conversation was had with the board president for the country club as well, but I don't remember their response. So duly noted, staff and I will follow up with it. Paul, anything else?
No, sir.
Paul, a couple of things. First of all, are there any questions from board members? A couple of things. One, kind of disheartening that we had to undo what was supposed to be done in that drying bed. That should have been caught at the time of inspection for the building of it, but it's neither here nor there. Thank you for doing that work. Again, thank you and the staff. We've given you a ton of projects. You're having to work with the the improvement committee, and we're getting a lot of things done. A good example of that is where you asked the district to allow you to do it in-house and move forward with it, and it's duly noted and appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Moving on, item number five, Amelia.
Item number five is our calendar for next month, our meeting calendar. We don't have anything on the personnel committee, though that will be canceled. It's our standard calendar, the first Tuesday of the month. Improvements at 8, finance at 10, the first Thursday. Communications at 8:30, security at 10. November 18th, we'll have our regular board meeting at 5 p.m.
Perfect, thank you. Item number 6, correspondence. I don't know if that's you, Amelia, or is it Tom?
This can be me. We have we received an email with concerns about the speed of cars going down Pear Drive, and that she was told not to use the speed machine because of the hill. What we're doing is we're tracking the amount of time we spend doing speed enforcement with the software we use, and of course that's another thing that we should be able to report on by the time we spend time with the vendor. As far as the UPS, Amazon trucks, so on and so forth, we've only got one patrol officer out there, and we try to hit the spots that we know are where people are speeding or running the stop signs, and we're doing the best we can with the single officer. So I can absolutely appreciate the concerns. And, you know, I spent some time on South Parkway, Murrieta South Parkway, and I see what a big speeding place that turns out to be. And the more we can do about it, the better. But at this point in time, we're using all the resources we have. And so that's the...
Thank you. I've had dialogue with RMA compliance chairperson, as well as RMA staff specific to this. So there is some informational components that are in the early stages, but I understand her concern, and we will address it as we try in all situations. But at the end of the day, it's keeping the honest people honest from that standpoint. Okay, moving on. Item number 7, comments from the public, please. Amelia, do you have any hands?
I do have hands. And I would just raise Crystal Matter.
Hi, so I just wrote my question in there. It's a two-part comment. One is security's radar equipment, from my understanding, does not work at night. So in addition to the topography issues, there's also an issue with being able to regulate speed once the sun goes down and the days are getting much shorter. Secondarily, I've been following the speeding issue with RMA closely. It's been my pet project for several months. I have not seen any significant traction from RMA, with the exception the new GM did do some research with respect to speed humps. But there are certain people that are not in favor of speed humps. So I just wanted to at least bring that comment into this particular group to say it's something I've been following, and I just haven't seen any significant traction on that issue.
Thank you. Where did you get the information that our LIDAR doesn't work at night?
Well, does it work at night?
I believe that was a question you asked me.
No, it's my understanding it doesn't.
Right, and my question specifically to you is, did the general manager from CSD tell you that? Who specifically told you it does not work at night?
It's my understanding from speaking with multiple people that it doesn't work at night.
Okay, so let me try this. Night, okay,
I would,
let me,
I would like
let me
for
try
that
this.
Information to be provided.
Thank you. Let me try this again. Did you ask the general manager of the CSD that specific question? If you didn't, we have a very limited staff. Who did you ask to be able to make the comment that it doesn't work at night?
I can speak with Tom on Tuesday when I meet with him and ask him that specific question.
We're fine. Amelia, next hand, please.
Yes, sir. I would like to call on Richard Gears.
Yes, please.
Regarding correspondence, I'm kind of wondering who decides what gets included under correspondence. and what's the criteria? Because I sent an email to the board members and I was kind of expecting it to be included in here. So I was kind of surprised.
As far as I know, the criteria is that if it's sent to all the board, it is included. Did you let Tom know or somebody on staff that it had been sent though, Richard? We.
Yeah, the current procedure and policy for the district is if something is written to the entire district board, then it's put into the agenda. If it's identified to a specific director or specific staff member and or director, then it's dealt with at those levels. Amelia, do you have any other hands?
Excuse me, my email was sent to all of the board members and to the general manager and a copy to Amelia. So it went to every single board member.
Perfect. Then what I would ask, would you resend it and specifically put it attention to the general manager and myself, and we will get it included into the next agenda.
Okay, so you guys didn't get the email about Measure J?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, and I'm not going to go back through my emails. So with that said, if you do it a second time, and I apologize if we missed it on behalf of the district, I'll make sure that it's in the next agenda. And if there's specific points, then we will address it before the next board meeting.
Okay.
Amelia, anybody else?
There are no more hands raised.
Okay, moving on to item number 8, discussion with the directors. I just want to have a brief discussion, if you will, regarding the pipeline. To the directors specifically, you've seen where people have quoted social media as their sole source of information. And really, again, there's only a couple of ways to get factual information. And one of them happens to be the pipeline that is sent out with all of our billing that the district does. So Director Butler, who's on the communication committee, has worked it through to a pretty good document. May not be the final document, but a very good document nonetheless. So as board members, we've all seen it. So Director Butler, if you'd take a little bit of time and just kind of discuss what we're doing with the pipeline, please.
Sure. Basically, we wanted to pull it together so it was a little bit more regulated, I suppose. So we picked a template of topics, I guess. And on the first page, we're focusing on things that are happening right now, anything that, for instance, the COVID information or any other particular items that are of it's sort of imperative and important information. And then we move on to the second page where the general manager will give his report. We've added some short encapsulated type of comments on what happens at each of the committee meetings. I think we need to work a little bit more on that. There's a development page, development section, a section about water and what's going on with the 2020 riparian rights. And then on the back page, we've got, help me, Tom, I can't remember what we named it.
I would defer to Amelia on that.
Community forum.
Okay. What is it? Community forum, right, sorry. We changed the name a couple times. And so community forum, and that's an opportunity for people to give us information, for us to give you information, the community information. It's not a place to gripe and complain and carry on. We don't want to get into that. We want to hear about what you know about your community, what you'd like to know about your community, what issues are concerning to you without necessarily making it a place where we're going to beat each other up. So I'm looking forward to hearing from anybody who wants to have a comment or have some information for that section. And then on the last part, Amelia calls it the commercials, but that's the place where we try to put in information from Cal Waste or any other thing that's going on that is particularly timely. For instance, you know, Cal Waste is doing their extra pickups, and so we're working on it. It's a work in progress, and I think you're going to like it. I think it has a lot more information in it that you can find pretty easily and pretty regularly.
Very good. Thank you, Director Butler. To the other directors specifically, just understand you might get tagged for a request to have an article written in the community forum. So as items of interest or explanation, especially coming from Improvements Committee, where some of this is pretty detailed, breaking it down and giving it an opportunity. So with that, thank you. I appreciate that. Moving on to item number 9, it's review monthly delinquent and reinstatement of late fees and interest on delinquent accounts. Tom, before you start off on this, and this is specific to the other board members. I've had dialogue just a couple minutes prior to the board meeting with the general manager. He was in a conference with staff members, and there's a thought process, and you heard in the finance committee where we're at on these delinquent utility payments. The direction I would like to go is to have this item pulled from the agenda, kick it back to staff for a couple of things. One, to specifically work with the individuals because it's a small number. And number two, the way our billing cycle comes, the interest payments and all those other things kind of fall right into the end of the calendar year, which is the holiday season and those types of things. So I would like to have some discussion from the board if it would be appropriate to kick this back to staff, put it on the agenda with a specific plan for each of the individual repayment processes for the January board meeting. So I'm opening it up to comments to the board, please.
Tim, is your hope that some of these payments get made and that this list goes down, or what are you trying to accomplish by postponing this till January?
I think a couple of things, Randy. That would be one of them. We are making individual contact with the residents. I think a more formalized process of doing that, instead of just whether it's phone call or what have you, actually lay out some of this stuff as a individual specific payment plan. And then the other is it does fall during the holiday season, those types of things, whether that emotionally plays into it or not. But I think that as we move forward with this, and again, at the end of the day, it's monies owed the district, so we will recoup them. But because of what we're seeing here, a more formalized process that's individualized to currently the 55 delinquent outstanding payments.
So none of these accounts will be charged penalties or interest, but your plan is to revisit this in January and possibly change that policy then.
I understand the question, and Tom might be able to answer it better. I was trying to do the math on what this percentage of 55 is to the community. But I think it's a two-pronged approach. I think it's A, what we have to do in COVID, B, just what can we do as staff to further drill down to figure out, is this going to be doable to get these monies? And then again, we've made a decision, does it go to the county tax roll or do we keep it on our balance sheet? So I didn't necessarily answer your question, Randy. I was making a note of it. So Tom, I don't know if you can have better clarification.
Yes, Tim? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
So what we want to do is, because the billing cycle for both November and December are going to have bills get into the home very late, maybe even the beginning of the next month because of where the 25th falls, and because it's the holidays, and because we are working with all these customers trying, we're calling them on a regular basis. We thought it'd be prudent to hold off until the December board meeting to bring this item back. And so when we issue the statements in January, we could begin charging the penalties and interest to people to pay their bills. Wouldn't be charging a penalty amounts that are due at the time, but only the new amounts that were. Penalty is 10%, and the interest rate is 1%. And just with the timing of the billing and with it being the holidays, would be a more customer-friendly way of handling getting back to charging penalties and interest. Does that answer?
Tim?
Hold on 1 second, Linda. Randy, did that answer your question?
He's muted.
Yes, thank you. Makes perfect sense to me. I'm good with it.
Thank you, Randy. Linda, please go ahead.
What I heard you saying, and maybe I'm not hearing well, but I heard you saying that you think that you seem to want a process, and that's why we want to go back to the staff and come up with some sort of process that works for this situation, and get that settled, and then go out to each of the individuals as you have been. But I'm thinking that having a process and starting to contact people now is going to be helpful because it won't be a surprise at that point.
No, that's very good with that. Currently, staff is making the phone calls and those types of things as we speak today. With this process, this just gives staff a little bit more time to pull mm-hmm. some things together and move forward. Haven't heard from either Director Merchant or Director Pohl.
Yeah, hi, Tim. It's John.
Go ahead, sir.
I agree with Randy. I'm not as concerned with the interest and penalties as they apply to us working with these folks, you know, with the hope that they're going to get their bill paid. The only comment I have, and it's something we could probably talk about more in depth at the finance meeting, would be that certainly if ultimately we're going to pass these through to Teeter, it would be in our best interest at that point to have accumulated whatever penalties and interests we can, because it's now out of the homeowner's hands. It's on the county roll, and when we do get paid, it would mean a bigger check for us.
Yes, I that makes perfect sense.
But as far as the individual working with the customers, no, I'm not, you know, it's not high on my list that we go beating folks up for the interest.
Copy. Director Martin.
I'm okay with delaying it, but I think it needs to be put in place at some point in the near future.
Okay. So I have a consensus, Tom, I'm now speaking to you. I have a consensus. I am going to pull item number 9 off of the agenda. How about if we put it on, and I can't remember if it's normally on the agenda, for finance, Director Merchant, if you're okay with that, and maybe give us a draft of where we're at as we move forward. And then the placeholder will be that it's formally brought back to the January 2021 meeting for board action.
Yeah. If possible, I'd like to bring it back in December so we can begin in January.
Perfect. Then that works. So thank you, staff. Thank you, board members. Item number 9 has been pulled off of the agenda. Moving on to item number 10, it's discuss potential reorganization, renegotiation of the 1984 agreement with the CIA ditch. Tom, this is you.
Hey, well, the CIA ditch is an interesting aspect of Rancho Marietta, probably nothing more historic than the CIA ditch when it comes to inherited items. The CIA is a consumerist association, and three members right now are the ranchers that are involved in utilizing the water to irrigate their property and run their businesses. And in 1988, and sorry about the 84 being on the agenda, but 1988 was the most recent agreement whereby the district is a third part member of this group and in running the CIA ditch. The ditch, it's approximately, it's about 4.5 miles long, but about 2.5 miles of it is within the district. And it begins at the Grand Lees Dam in Forbay. And this is where the district gets, this is where we get our water. And then the water goes through the Forbay, goes into the ditch and meanders down under the, you know, past the Yellow Bridge, under the Wooden Bridge, and eventually provides water to farmers west of the district. So it's been 32 years since the district has had primary maintenance responsibility for the CIA ditch. And when the agreement was created in the first place, it had a reevaluation every 5 years built into it. And to my knowledge, it's never been reevaluated. And given all the talk about Laguna Joaquin and the repairs of the ditch and the cost of the ditch, I felt it was prudent to sit down with the other members of the CIA ditch, which includes Carol Ward and John Sullivan. And so we don't know what we're gonna talk about or how we're gonna talk about it, but I just felt it was important bring to the board that we're going to take this agreement that's 32 years old and try to renegotiate it and try to keep the interests of all parties at the front of the at the front of it all.
Excellent. Very good. I guess we have missed about 6 of the 5 openers on this. So I appreciate that as it moves forward in the negotiation process. Obviously, we'll be involved in detail. So unless a board member has any comments, please move forward with it. And thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Jim, I
go ahead, Randy.
I just have one comment, Tom. Your memo says that the agreement is attached, but it's not attached to my memo. Can we get a copy of that original?
Yes.
The other.
I will ask Amelia. Go ahead.
Pardon me.
I will ask Amelia to update this item when she posts it, and it'll include the agreement. I think it'll. Yeah, it will do that.
The other thing that came to my attention the other day when Paul took us on his tremendous trip through the CSD facilities was that the CIA ditch was running full that day, and apparently it's been running full lately. But when we went to fill up Laguna Joaquin, we were somehow required to pull water out of Lake Clementia. And I asked the question then why we had to pull water out of Lake Clementia when the Forbay was filling the CIA ditch, and I didn't get an answer to my question. And I'm not asking for an answer right now, but I think that it's important that all of the board members understand that there's some unwritten rules to this thing that we all need to understand before we have a discussion on what our relationship should be with the other partners in this ditch. Thank you.
Tim, may I comment?
Yes.
For a second?
Go ahead, John.
One of the things, Amelia, if you would, it would be helpful with Randy requesting a copy of the agreement. And I thought it was on the website. If not, I have it. I think it would be helpful for everybody to have the original agreement, the one that was done on a very old typewriter, because it does give you some context as to how this thing evolved until we got to 84. The other comment I had was, I went down on Sunday and I had the same question Randy had, in that I rode down to Granley's, understanding that we were drawing water out of Clementia to feed the ditch. And I wanted to see, number one, was it happening? Number two, where it went in? Number three, what the volume was. But when you went to Granley's, it was evident that there was, I mean, it was going full tilt through the culvert, out the gate, and into the ditch. And that was the same question I had, was that Clementia water required? Were we generating enough water out of the river itself to force feed the water under the highway and get it back up into Laguna Joaquin? Because and it's really strange for this time of year, that the ditch is going full bore. I mean, there's all kinds of water in there.
Well, John, I'm going to ask John Sullivan, who understands the hydrology of the CIA ditch better than anybody. But I also want to add in the RFP that we put out for environmental consulting relative to Laguna Joaquin, we requested that they also review the CIA ditch and how that relates to Laguna Joaquin and all the measures that have to be taken to get enough pressure to push water over a very slight slope to get it into Laguna Joaquin. So if John Sullivan's available, I would appreciate him chiming in. Otherwise, we can answer this question at the next improvements meeting.
Well, thank you, Tom.
I'm still on.
Yeah, John, if you give us just a quick snapshot, because I think as we move forward with this, Mr. Sullivan, and we get a better understanding, I think it's going to be a standalone matter, if you will, for the history of how we got here, what we're doing while we're here, and then really what do we need to do for the future to secure it, as one of the members of the agreement. So yeah, if you just give us a quick history lesson, because I think this is going to be a standalone subject matter for a little time to come.
Sure. I've been meeting with Tom and John Merchant. We did a tour of the ditch with Mark and Jeff Pearson, Mark from the ranch, Jeff Pearson, and we everybody toured from the dam all the way to the end of the line where water can go back into the river. Last weekend, we were asked to try to get some water into Laguna Joaquin. The staff gauge was reading about 35 on Thursday and Friday. The amount of water we can get in running at the staff gauge at Granley's at 1.0, which is about 12 cubic feet per second, that fills up a 36-inch pipe. Pipe that goes into Laguna is 42-inch, and in order to push more water into Laguna, we have to add water from Clementia in order to get enough head to push the water into Laguna Joaquin if we want to go past 40 inches. On Monday morning, it was 40.5, 40 you know, 40.5 inches. The spillway is 45. So if you look at the spillway, there's a little crown at the top of it. We were right at the lip of the crown. So that's about as full as the ditch goes, unless you have the ditch at the lot 14 in the commercial area where it comes into the 42-inch pipe running at full bore at 42 inches. Then you can get water pushed into Laguna Joaquin and over the spillway if that's your desire. So we were Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and on Monday we shut off the flow from Clementia into the ditch through the CIA facility there about 1,000 feet west of Cranley's Dam. Paul had the staff turn the Clementia valve on at 1 CFS, which is about 2 acre feet. In 2 days, we added 4 acre feet from Clementia and 12 and a half acre feet that came directly out of the ditch and into Laguna Joaquin. Half a foot of water in Laguna Joaquin was added during those little over 2 days. That's 12 and a half acre feet. 4 came from Clementia, 8 and a half came from the CIA ditch direct diversion. We discussed this with the district and they wanted us to get the water in there under their nickel for water quality purposes to make sure that the Laguna Joaquin was as fresh as possible. The river, I talked to Carol over the weekend and it's the first time that she can remember, and it's the first time I can remember in 40 years that the river has been running so briskly so late in the year when we didn't have any really summer rain. And my suspicion is that there's water coming down the river from Sly Park. There's an old agreement that was signed. It's actually attached to a CIA doc or a CIA CSD document that's in your documents that discusses the regulatory requirement of Sly Park, the Bureau of Reclamation, to drop 1 CFS at one particular point and 5 more CFS at another particular point at Jenkinson's Lake, which is Sly Park Reservoir. And that water is making its way down the river as the river diminished here down to around 8. It's now bumped back up to around 12, which is at the Michigan Bar gauging station. That's about what fills the ditch. And we've had the ditch running full for the last week. The 2 weeks prior to that, it was running slightly less than full. And we were putting water into the river at the Yellow Bridge for riparian purposes for the Hutchison and the Snyder ranches, which is the requirement of all of us. When there's not enough water to go around, we're all correlative, meaning we all share. And during that 2 week period before that, we were sharing water with the Umwelchumnes Hartnell irrigators on the other side of the river. And we dropped that right at the Yellow Bridge. Creates a couple nice waterfalls right there underneath the highway bridge. And that water meanders to their pumps. Hutchison's pumps about 500 gallons per minute. Snyder's pumps at least twice that, maybe 1,250. And they cycle their irrigation. And the reason that we use the ditch to do that is because when we switch back to the ranches or using water in regulatorily in the Laguna Joaquin, we don't have to wait for the river to catch up. So if we were to shut the CIA ditch off every time the riparians wanted water, we'd have to wait for the water to get down to their pumps, and sometimes it wouldn't get there. But by dropping it there at the Yellow Bridge, everybody gets the most use of the water for the least waste. And so they finished their irrigations. On Friday, we turned back up the ditch and it rocked and rolled at about 36 inches on the 40 lot 14 scale. So we were able to get accomplished over the weekend what we were asked to do, which is get the Laguna Joaquin freshened. And yes, we're all for sitting down and talking about how to keep everybody's interests aligned going forward, and if necessary, amend the agreement. It's been around a long time. I think the original handwritten agreements I look back on were in the 30s sometime, and then there was a 54 amendment. So the first one that was ever typed was 1988. So any other questions you might have about the users the appropriators west of Laguna Joaquin have chosen since 2017 to take the direct flow through the siphon side of the diversion box and then send the water to Laguna Joaquin out of the 42-inch pipe. They have the appropriate right for to irrigate 22.5 acres out of that. 4.5 acres is RMA. 14 acres is the mobile village. And then there's about 5 or so acres at the training center. Training center hasn't used their appropriative right for a while, and mobile village hasn't either. And one of the things we'll want to discuss is, do we want to make an application for a change of use location for that small 0.28 cubic feet per second flow that can get into Laguna Joaquin for irrigation and stock watering and if necessary, domestic purposes. So I could go on and on, but that's my recap for tonight.
Perfect. That was actually great history. I think the written document 1930, I thought I saw Janko's signature on it, Director Janko's signature on it, but I'm not sure.
I thought you said you no more. Oh, that wasn't humorous, was it?
No, I thought it was. Mr. Sullivan, I think everything you just talked about from a historical perspective is, at the end of the day, the reason we have to sit down and just have a fresh document from that standpoint. So I appreciate the history. We look forward to it. If I don't have any other comments from the board, we're going to move on to item number 11.
Do you have one comment from the public, Mr. Maybe?
Please.
Mr. Public?
Hi, just a couple of comments. I just want to mention that document is on the CSD website someplace. I don't know where it is, but and it does, if you download it, it does include at the end that 1954 agreement, which is typed. It's hard to read, but it's typed. Other than that, this memo mentions that maintenance of the ditch was primarily been the responsibility of the district. Now, my understanding, that's correct as far as actually doing the work, but we're only like about one third responsible for financing. That's my understanding. So, I don't know.
That is correct, Richard.
Okay, just wanted to verify it. And just one other comment, if you guys are going to be talking about doing something with the village's water rights, then I think you need to include the village in that discussion. I assume you're going to do that, but I just wanted to mention that. That's the end of my comment.
Thank you. Tim, you're on mute.
Not only was I on mute, but I was out of the room. So thank you. Moving on to item 11. Paul, I know this is from you. I've read its recommendation. I see where the Improvements Committee has also approved it. So this is an action item. So I would like to make a motion that we move forward with the purchase of a new Ford F-150. Do I have a second?
Second.
Amelia, there's discussion. Do I have any hands raised? Any discussion?
No hands raised. No one's chatting.
Would you call for a roll call vote, please?
Yes, sir. President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item number 12, director comments. I'll open it up to the fellow directors.
I'd just like to congratulate Tim on not being very funny tonight.
Amelia, as we move forward on these Zoom calls, you and I are going to have to coordinate the muting system. So with that being said, again, staff, thank you. Everyone's doing great work in all the departments. As we heard from some of the public tonight, there's some concerns. Most of it is, I think, unwarranted and lack of understanding of how the governmental process works. But that's okay. That's why we have these open meetings, and that's why we have the dialogue. So with that being said, if I don't hear any other comments from directors, I'm going to move to item 13, adjournment. That being said, it's required a roll call vote.
It requires Brian makes a motion and seconds the motion, sir.
I'm sorry, I missed that, Amelia.
It's required, I believe, that someone make a motion that we adjourn and that someone second.
I move that we adjourn. Move that we adjourn.
I'll second it. Roll call, please.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mabee.
Aye.
Mr. Murphy. Mr. Janko.
Aye.
And Mr. Pohl.
Aye.
Ms. Butler?
Yes, aye.
John Merchant, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
And what is your vote?
I vote yes.
I appreciate you.
I was tempted, but I vote yes.
Thank you. With that being said, this concludes the board meeting. I want to thank everybody again. Amelia, travel safe if I don't chat with you. Thank you.